Welcome to the last episode of Elvis Right Now. In this episode, we reviewed the 2022 movie, and even though it's a little bit late, we didn't want to lose any of what we said, so here it is. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, spoiler alert, we are going to be talking about the movie, every detail of the movie, what we liked, what we didn't like, and just basically our thoughts and review on the movie. So if you haven't seen it, this is your warning. Go away, watch it, and then come back.
Definitely, you've been warned, bestie.
Fully. Where's Austin Butler's Oscar?
Okay, so the thing is that get him on the podcast. Someone call him and get him on our podcast. Because tell me why, if he doesn't at the very least get nominated, it will be the letdown of the century. Because when I tell you, when I said I needed you, like, hi.
100%. I honestly think he will be nominated, because didn't Rami Malek get one for Bohemian Rhapsody? And that wasn't my favorite thing he ever did. So honestly, if Austin Butler doesn't reach teen icon. I mean, he's 30. You know exactly what I mean when I say that. Like, heartthrob state. Yeah. It's over, because he killed it. He left no crumbs. I truly think
it's over.
I think he embodied Elvis by the end of the movie.
No, literally,
I didn't even acknowledge that was an actor. The mannerisms and the voice and the singing voice. I was entranced, convinced, sold.
Absolutely sold. Like, just the amount of, oh my gosh, like, we've all heard the interviews, we've all listened to him talk about how he prepared for the role and stuff like that, and him saying the countless times how much, like, respect and, like, how much work he's put into this, obviously, how much passion, and how his, like, main goal was to, like, the myth and, like, the image around Elvis and bring back his humanity. How many times have we heard him say that? I have so much respect for Austin at this point, because I'm like, he did it. So I'm like, that is all. Girl, that's the most in my opinion.
I agree. I think it was perfect casting, and really smart, actually, of Baz Luhrmann to cast Austin Butler. Because honestly, to cast someone with experience, but also still, like, unknown. I know, like, Harry Styles allegedly auditioned to be Elvis, and, like, girl, okay. But,
it's true.
Know, if he actually hired someone very famous, I don't think it would have went down well, because it's really hard to actually then immerse yourself in a piece of cinema when you're just thinking that whole time, like, I know that person. And I think that's where Tom Hanks did a really good job, because he completely changed his accent. And I think a lot of people were clocking that, being like, girl, why did he change his accent? The Colonel didn't sound like that, blah, blah, blah. But I think it was such an important choice, because actually, if he did an American accent, the whole time you would have just been thinking, that's Woody from Toy Story, that's Big, that's, you know, that's Tom Hanks. And you can't immerse yourself like that,
because
his voice is, like, obviously so iconic, so it would have been impossible to actually get into it. So I didn't once acknowledge that it was Tom Hanks once watching the film, and that's, like, everything to me.
No, exactly. And I've heard a lot of other people, you know, sharing their thoughts about the movie, and you couldn't see, like, Tom Hanks in the role. It was just the Colonel, and that is so tea for me. And also, I just wanted to say, Austin Butler is kind of like a new kid on the street. Like,
right.
I mean, people know him from, like, the Disney Channel. A lot of other people have known him from things like, he was in that one Quentin Tarantino movie too, Hollywood something about Hollywood. Anyways,
he was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I only think he had a small role in that, but I can't remember.
Yeah, but I was just gonna say, like, too, because me and Maggie have watched just, like, a couple of things that he's been in the past, and I'm, like, so happy for him that he got this chance, and now he is an up-and-coming star, because he, amount of sheer talent that he has, and the amount of effort poured into this role, into a human being, like, bestie, it is actually jaw-dropping, show-stopping. This movie was his movie. I know it was his movie, Bessie. It was called Elvis. He played Elvis, but this is his movie. Like, this is his time
truly
to shine.
Yeah, and I think it really shows how, actually, with a good director, a good concept, a good script and stuff, that an actor can really fulfill their potential. Like, because because we were watching him in like Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure, which girl, he was fine in it. Obviously, the role didn't call for much dramatic acting. It was just like a teenage Disney Channel film. But obviously,
Right.
he like gave everything for that role too. But like, it's obviously not reaching the same potential as he reached in Elvis. And it was just so exciting.
True. And honestly, it reminds me too of like Elvis a little bit and like this kind of roles that he was given. Although we know that he was such a gifted actor if he would have given like, or if he would have had the chance, if he was given the chance to show that. And I feel like the stuff that Austin Butler's been in, like, no Tino show, this is just my opinion, but like, obviously, it's like teenage stuff or like, kind of cheesy, corny
Yeah.
horror movies, stuff like that. So it's like for him to have gotten this chance to really show what he could do with his craft, he deserves it. Like, hi, that was incredible.
100%. He really did make the film for me, and as did the soundtrack. The soundtrack is something that I have
Oh.
appreciated more and more each time I've been to see it, and each time I like have listened to it. If you've been to see the film but you haven't just sat and listened to the soundtrack on like Spotify or Apple or whatever, go listen to it because it's just so good to hear it in
So
full.
good. The thing is that I've been listening to it nonstop since I saw the movie for the first time a week ago, and it is truly like if you see the movie, it just makes it so much more lit. Like
Yeah.
you get lit. Like in the theater, you're like, yeah. Like honestly,
Yeah.
it is so cool. And I've heard people too like say that they don't like, obviously, that they don't like the soundtrack, they don't like the use of like rap music and modern music and all this other stuff. But I saw a post and I just reposted it the other day of Baz Luhrmann saying, or was like quoting Baz Luhrmann saying, young people don't care about Elvis and I'm going to change their minds, or it's like, or it's time to change their minds, or something like that. He keeps promoting this movie as a movie for like every generation, and I think that the soundtrack plays such a big part in that motive for him. It's like the draw of popular artists from today. Bestie, so many young people would not go see it. So it is such a, I know we talked about this before, but such a good, innovative thing that he did with the
Yeah,
soundtrack.
it really elevates the viewing experience too, all the montagey stuff, and it's just sickening.
Yes.
It's so sick to watch. And honestly, I think it's in aid to try and reflect actually at the time like what Elvis his vibes were. So obviously in the 50s it was all electric guitar and like new and rap and like fun, really exciting music. And then when it all switched in the 60s, it was like, psychedelic, edge of reality.
Right.
That sort of stuff. It was just really well done and put together. So definitely listen to it outside of the cinema and just get into it because it's so exciting.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think it comes hand in hand with the film, like film and soundtrack, 10 out of 10 for me. Like, I
Oh
really
my
enjoyed
gosh,
it.
literally. And I know we talked about this before too, but like the songs that they made, like I know Crawfever is one. Like those
Oh.
are so cool. I could literally listen to those for so forever. Like Bessie, those are lit.
So exciting. And I think someone posted that Elvis has now like has gained like I think 5 million more followers on Spotify.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting too, because people are like in it to win it. So it's so weird because like girl, obviously Elvis can't release new music, but they can still release new Elvis music if that makes sense. Like that's so exciting. Because it is
It
whole
is
a whole new experience and a taste of something modern and it's fun.
exactly. And also, top or going off of that, I guess the news is in, bestie. The news is in that the Elvis movie has beat Top Gun in the box office. So it is now the number one movie in the box office. And all I have to say, I literally did cry when I read that. I did cry. I was reading it out loud to my mom and I got emotional. It is 2022 and Elvis is topping the charts still. Are you joking me? Get it,
Yeah.
King. Get it.
It's so exciting when obviously Top Gun, it's
Crying.
already an established franchise with an audience ready to go see it. So the fact that Elvis could have that draw by just being one person, obviously people go to see it for a multitude of reasons, like the soundtrack or the cast or Baz Luhrmann or whatever reason you went to see it. Ultimately, you're going to see it
Right.
for Elvis at the end of the day, whether you know it or not. Like you're gonna leave that vibing with Elvis.
Exactly, which I think is so cool.
And to segue, that movie was the most Elvis gaudy, tacky, beautiful thing I have ever seen, and I ate it up with a spoon. The visuals, stunning. And I knew Baz Luhrmann would pull that out of his hat because he always pulls that off with the aesthetics and the stunning, stunning cinematography. I have to talk about it.
No, it was incredible. And it was like an almost 3-hour movie. Always were captivated. You always had something to engage with, not seem that long at all. And it was just because it was a cinematic, honest, like experience masterpiece. It was so visually stunning. So incredible.
Yeah. And things I noticed, like, obviously showing a lot of fans and like the footage of real fans as well mixed in was so clever and cool, like real Elvis footage mixed with the recreational footage. And then they had the beautiful colors, all the Cadillacs, the fashions. First of all, the costume designer had a ball with this. Like, it's so like magical to see. The lights, the culture of it all was just something else. Like, I had a great time with this film. Also the transitions, like all the cool effects they had, and just the slow motion, just everything that was going on visually, I couldn't get enough of, to be honest. I loved it. And the little details were cool, like the split screen they used in Elvis on Tour, and then the comic book visual.
The comic book made, the first time I saw it, I literally leaned over and whispered to my mom. I was like, oh, Captain Marvel, because like it was such a cool tie-in to like something that people probably don't know about Elvis, and that like he loved that stuff growing up and was influenced by that. And I also loved something that stuck out to me too, was like, just like in the beginning of the movie, they would like label the scenes of like where stuff was taking place. So they would do like Beale Street or Lauderdale Courts or something. And like, that was just so cool to me.
Yeah. I loved that, how it was incorporated, and it really like helped you follow it as well, because it wasn't necessarily in chronological order, but I liked that because it was sort of how busy Elvis's life was, and it reflects like obviously that manic time of fame building and not really knowing, you know, what's going to happen next or if it's going to end and stuff like that. So it was really, really cool to watch. I also loved they did like a bit of the Hollywood years with like starring Elvis Presley and Priscilla, and like that was very cool to see. Like that was
so fun,
a cool idea, and it made it fun, and it broke the film up into little sections, but not in like a stunted way. It all was very fluid, but it helped it sort of transition through his life very well.
No, yeah, exactly. I did also, now that you said that, wanted to like, I think a cool thing about like the not going in chronological order is like, if they started from the beginning and then like worked its way through his life until the end, number one, I feel like for maybe some viewers that might be a boring approach to it, because it's like,
yeah,
okay, like this is taking too long or something. But also, like, secondly, I think it's so much easier, and I don't know how to really word this because this is just like a thought that I've just had now, but like when you're talking about something like, for example, maybe a black, like the black influence or something, I know that that was like kind of, that didn't work chronologically either. Like, they kind of would like do a flashback of him like hearing this person and then like fast forward to where it was now or whatever like that. And I think that it would be easier for an audience to be like, oh, that makes sense why this happened, instead of like seeing that happen in the beginning of the movie and then having to remember that that happened like in the middle of the movie when all this other stuff is being talked about, like in the 68 special, and then having to remember like, oh yeah, that happened at the beginning. And I think it was smart that they didn't, you didn't have to remember, like you could, because they did a flashback and you're like, oh
yeah,
and then it went right back.
I loved it when they showed sort of the beginning of Elvis on Tour and him doing That's All Right Little Mama, and then they showed him way back when he was a kid watching the guy do it at the start, and then him recording it, and then him like in the 70s still doing that song, and like that song followed him throughout the whole thing, and it was really like a connective moment to see his influence become like real. And I also think it was a good point where they started, because it's from the Colonel's point of view, obviously, which is, I think, such an interesting hot take to choose to do, because like you said, it would be so boring if they just did like a start to finish story with no, like, not a gimmick, but no flavor or flair. It had so much flair to the way it was just told. Like, the storytelling was really well done also, and it was memorable. And it's not mundane. It makes it so, it like separates it from other biopics as well as other Elvis biopics as well.
Absolutely. Because you think of how many biopics that we've seen that have just like started from Tupelo and then ended like somewhere around the 68 or the Aloha special, like, and they work their way through, like we see all of the tired old like points that everyone makes, and it's just refreshing to kind of see a new take on that.
Yeah, and something that I think this film achieved was representing the Black community, because it's it's never been done before in anything I've seen.
And let me, we've done an episode, a podcast episode on this. I've done so many episodes on this over on Instagram. I've talked so much about this, and it is because, like, I'm so passionate about this stuff, because literally one of the number one reasons that people don't like Elvis in this day and age, people of our generation, was because they truly believe that Elvis stole Black music, profited off of Black music, was racist, all of these rumors that people believe. And I couldn't be more satisfied with how this movie nipped those rumors in the bud, literally killed them all dead, and said, bestie, here is what happened. This is the history of what happened. And I know we have a lot of points under this kind of topic, because this is, like, surprisingly to me, controversial on, like, how they handled it, because I've heard a few people be like, I don't agree. And honestly, I'm just like, how though? Okay. Elvis,
Elvis was not racist.
Yeah, isn't that so funny? Isn't that so funny? What have we been saying for the last 19 years? Thank you, Baz Luhrmann. Thank you so much. I think that you really dealt with that so beautiful. Honestly, some of my favorite bits of the movie, if not what I loved most about the movie, was how it dealt with Elvis's influence and how he rose to fame and stardom. And I think a lot of it is because of the attention and how much time Baz spent in the 50s and the events leading up to, you know, his rise in fame and stuff. I loved it. I thought, I don't understand how people couldn't love that if you care at all about that.
It really contextualizes Elvis's, like, upbringing and how he was exposed to that type of music and the reasons behind it too, like the financial reasons and stuff of why he was ever involved in that area, because so many people think, oh, it was segregated, he can't have done that, like, legally, which is true. But there were so many consequences and, like, little things that were just almost meant to be, you know what I mean, for him to be able to do that. And it really abolishes that, like, idea that he had any racist intention or prejudice at all. It really showed experiencing it and wanting like Little Richard to be able to express himself on TV the same way he could. And he said, like, obviously in a comedic way, like, God, why don't they book him on Steve Allen? And BB King was like, because
they would have not a fit. Allowed.
Yeah.
Literally, like that.
Yeah. And you know, Elvis was really the vehicle for that type of music to be allowed to be on TV. And then the gateway then and the doorway for people like Little Richard to actually then break out into stardom as well. Like, if anything, Elvis is just a key to a door. Like, if you want to look at it that from literally. a musical historian perspective, whatever. And it really did that so well. And then it went further in showing Elvis in the comeback special, crediting those people, bringing it back to Black people every single time, honey. Like, he never forgot his tea, never forgot his roots. And the comeback special was all about that. And that was the highlight for me, the comeback special, the whole story of rebellion and why Elvis was originally so iconic and rose in the first place was because he was different, rebellious. And I think that film just signed, sealed, delivered that idea about Elvis as a person.
Absolutely. You said it. You nailed it. Like, Bessie, that was from, and we don't need to sit here on the podcast and give, like, the history of, you know, what happened back then and, like, in the, you know, with all the segregation stuff, because we've already done that. Go listen to the episode if you want. But, like, the way that it tied in his influence, like, that was one of the things that I was just so excited for in seeing the trailer. I was so hyped because they were showing the revival tent and they were showing Tupelo and they were showing his Black friends. They were showing the Shake Rag community. They were showing it all, and they showed the influence to a T. They showed the backlash, the parents and the society of the time being like, bestie, not only is he shaking his hips on stage and gyrating and thrusting his pelvis at me, he's also singing race music and he's bringing that music to our teenagers, and that's not okay. And I think that that was so important to bring in too, because it wasn't just the sexual stuff. It was also the fact that he was singing music that was like, girl, that's Black music. You can't be singing that here. So I love that. And then also, like you said, the giving the credit, like during the 68 special and during the 60, during the international press conference, when they were like, they had him stand up and say, like, oh no, I'm not the king. Like, right here, this is Fats Domino. This is the real king of rock and roll. They literally had him, they had Austin Butler with that dialogue in the film. And like, whenever you tell people, right, in like online, like, no, he did give credit. No, he did. Like, he fully didn't want to be called the king of rock and roll. He refused that title. They don't believe you. So I just love, oh, I'm getting heated. I think it like kills, it absolutely kills that myth that Elvis was racist. Elvis stole music. Elvis yes. profited off of, you know, without giving credit. He acted like it was his own. He stole music. It was just beautiful. And I'm talking a mile a minute, but I've heard some critique that people are a little upset because it really, really focused on the Black influence that Elvis had in his life. Not as much, no, literally, but not as much like gospel influence, not as much quartet influence, things like that. Right. But me and Maggie were talking about this while prepping for this episode. And I think it is so absolutely spot on that they spent that much time with the Black music, because Black music was the music that he got famous off of. He didn't get famous off of singing gospel music, Bessie. He didn't get famous off of singing with the quartets or with the, you know, Blue Moon, whatever. He didn't get famous off that stuff. He got famous off of singing Black music. So you have to, right? You have to show that part of it first. Exactly. You have to do that, because if you were to show a movie, right, with anything, like if you were to show this movie and not follow the narrative that Baz decided to take with it, like if you wanted to show his health problems or if you wanted to show his relationships, whatever, people are not going to sit in the theater and pay attention to a movie about those things if they already have the preconceived notion that he was a racist pedophile. Like, they're not going to care about anything that you have right. to say. So you have to dispel that root, those crucial like foundation level rumors first, and they did that, and I'm so grateful.
Yeah, and I really think it's become the standard of like reference to be like, no, because it's so much easier now to say go watch the Baz Luhrmann film than it would have been to say go read a million books on race history and Elvis. Like, girl, yes. it's hard. But now you can just be like, go sit down, have some popcorn, enjoy yourself for a couple hours, and then come back to me. Like, it's so much easier. And I really
exactly.
can't thank Baz Luhrmann and his timing enough. I also think that I want to thank him for, like, he showcased Black excellence without it being too, like, preachy or too modern and woke, if you will, like with its
yeah.
act with, or like performative. Like, girl, it would have been so easy in 2022 to make it, like, you know, try to be performative in its activism, but I feel like it was really true to life and had, like, it just was realistic, and like, it still showcased, girl, yes, there was prejudices, but there's also people fighting against it. Like, when he went and did the concert and there was the segregation barriers and they got
yes.
literally oh. and metaphorically broken, like 100%.
Literally.
An iconic moment that not a lot of people know about either in Elvis history or in music history.
No. And I loved, I think this is also what you were talking about, but like at the Rustwood Park scene in the movie, yeah. they showed how there was a, I don't even know what like the type of meeting that they were having.
But a basically segregation it was like rally.
Like a white supremacy meeting, like a couple like feet away, Bessie, like it was down the street. And I honestly, and this is no shade to anybody, like no tea, no shade. This is honestly our opinion. But in my head, I just absolutely cannot wrap my mind around how somebody could have a problem with how it was, how the influence, how the Black music influence was represented in the movie, because to me, it was just so absolutely flawless and so important.
I agree.
So important. And it covered every aspect, and people today need to know that part of the history.
And I also think a lot of people were like butthurt or whatever the term is about, like, why did they show this? Why did they show that? Girl, because it happened. Like, I love
exactly
a detail I really liked was all the like headlines clipped all the way through, like real headlines yeah. that actually were put out by newspapers saying like Elvis should be put in jail. Elvis is like a white man with black hips. That was one of them. And it was just like,
yeah, oh. Is he gonna get canceled? Is Steve Allen gonna cancel Elvis?
Cancel Elvis.
Like, period.
That was so funny. But No, I felt it was really informative as well as entertaining, and that's all you can ask for, to be honest. And I hate when people nitpick and say, this bit wasn't accurate, or this, like, girl, you're just raining on people's parade. It was never supposed to be a documentary. It was
a documentary.
It was always going to be a cinematic experience. Hello, Baz Luhrmann. Like, it was always going to be a movie. Like,
definitely. And I'm thinking back to something my friend Mary said to me, and she was like, if people go into this movie realizing that it's a Baz Luhrmann film and being prepared for that, I think they're going to like it a lot more than if they weren't.
I think so too.
And the thing is, that's so true, because like, if you're going into this right with like a researcher taking notes kind of, this isn't historically accurate, it's not supposed to be taken that way. And I think if you do look at it that way, mm-hmm. and not see it for what it is, you're missing out so much, because it is not a documentary educational film. It is an artistic take on somebody's life. And honestly, there's going to be inaccuracies no matter what. Like, no, I'm sure there's inaccuracies in Rocketman and Bohemian Rhapsody and all the biopics made about people, in the Judy movie about Judy Garland. Like, I'm sure there was. And
I thought you said impossible. Judy Moody.
In Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer, I'm sure there were inaccuracies. But let me tell you, the thing is that it's impossible. It's impossible to include every single thing correctly, but also just include every single thing about somebody's life in a 3-hour film. It would have been literally 18 hours if we were to do that. So I think for what it was, it included the base level beginner educational knowledge for any new person that wants to get into Elvis. And I think that that is so important. Yes. Look at Elvis skyrocketing right now. Like, that's what we want.
Right. And I hate to say, I don't want to say like, girl, if you don't like it, you don't understand it. But fully, the girls who get it, and the girls who don't. Like, you need to allow yourself to be immersed and suspend your disbelief when watching any film that isn't a documentary. Like, if it's a documentary, then we'd have something to talk about, right? Like, girl, mm-hmm. obviously, right. If it was a claiming to be the whatever, the end all be all. But it's not that, and it was never going to be that. So don't go in with the mindset that, like, I'm going to nitpick this and pull it apart. Like, there's no point. You're not going to enjoy it that way. Let yourself get into it. And I feel like so much fun. Like, girl, you're not going to enjoy it if you're sat there going, why is Doja Cat play it? Like, you don't get it. You don't get it.
Literally. And I think it is such a huge... And I mean, like, if you don't like it, you don't like it. And that's period. Like, you don't have to like it. At the end of the day, it's a movie, whatever. But like, it is, and I said this to Maggie, like, it is such a big deal for us. It is such a special moment right now in the Elvis community and for Elvis in general. And I think if you aren't going into this movie with the right mindset and looking at it the way it needs to be looked at and appreciating it for what it is, I think it's just like, I'm disappointed for you, because I feel like there is so much to love about it and so much to appreciate about it. And you don't have to like everything. I have my list of cons as well. I don't love everything about it either. But for what it is, everything in it is like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like, to the extent it went to, is almost like just the sweet spot. It's just like perfect.
Yeah, I think that it was a perfect midway, like between, I mean, like vulnerability and iconism, and they got it perfect. Like people saying, I heard people say like, girl, they're portraying Elvis as weak or like even pathetic. And I was just like, hold on. Every single person ever is weak and is strong at the same time. Like, you can't tell me them showing Elvis crying or them showing Elvis like vulnerable and like upset or whatever it is showing him weak. Because sorry, that's real. Like, you are putting him on a pedestal if you think he wasn't in his weak moments,
crying.
Sometimes crying, screaming, no. Throwing things, like, girl. And also, I really appreciate that they didn't show him to be some druggy with anger issues the whole time, like every other Elvis depiction I've ever seen. They always show him to be like unjustifiedly angry constantly. But my friend said every time he was mad or whatever in this film or acted out, it was so justified because of what was going on and like the fuckery that he was like being a part of. And he was
exactly
being controlled. Someone said, I don't like the fact he was being controlled. He was being controlled in real life. He was being puppeteered.
The fact
that
he
was trying to break out, that frustration really, girl, coming to the surface. And that's why the film was so good, because it showed the tension and the wanting to rebel, because that's Elvis's nature. And then being tied down and being like tried to reform, essentially. He even says in the movie, they cut my hair and sent me away and put me in a uniform, and then what do I do now? I lost myself. I need to come back. Combat Special, hence. So what I'm Bestie. Hearing is you don't get it, because like, girl, if you're going to critique things that actually did happen in real life, I can't help you.
No, exactly. And that's what I am saying about like the Black History thing. That's what I'm saying about a bunch of stuff in this movie. That's like, you can't get mad. No, you can't get mad that Elvis seemed controlled by Colonel Parker, because at the end of the day, Bestie, he was. At the end of the day, what happened was, is that Elvis numerous times said to Parker, I'm going to fire you, Bestie, you're done. And Parker said, okay, good, good, good. But you owe me all this money. And then Elvis, Bestie, couldn't do it. So it's like, also, yeah. Also, one more thing. Ooh, sorry. But you saying about like him being portrayed to some people as, and not just, I haven't heard just one person say this. I've heard like a couple people
me too.
Say like
me too.
Weak and controlled and pathetic and like a druggie, whatever. I, Bestie, how long have we been saying Elvis was a human being? Elvis was a human being who had human struggles, who felt human emotions. This movie, Austin Butler for real came out here and said, I want to give Elvis his humanity back. And that is what he did. Showing Elvis struggling with emotion, showing him crying, showing him vulnerable. Angry, showing him vulnerable, showing him all these things
and
is
also,
the most human
also,
thing about it.
On the flip side of the coin, showing him large and in charge, showing him being the main dog, like showing him as a strong man as well as that. So don't even try
exactly.
me. And
no,
also, I don't think he was portrayed as pathetic or scary at all. I think he was portrayed as being manipulated, which he was from the very get-go.
He was.
When the
and
colonel,
that's just tea.
When the colonel, like, cheated Vernon, essentially, because, sorry to Vernon, but he's a man with, you know, not a businessman's education, and he saw gold when the colonel suggested, oh, you could be the business manager, you know what I mean? Elvis business, like family right. business. And that is just like, obviously, for a Southern man who thinks his life is going nowhere, I've been to prison, I've been all this, and like, girl, thinking you're not going to have success, and then someone hands it to you, and all you have to do is sign a piece of paper, you are going to do that, because why wouldn't you if you're down in the dumps, whatever it is. So I think
exactly
it really did show the colonel taking advantage from the get-go to the end, period.
And if that's Elvis being controlled, Bestie, if that's what you're seeing, then that's it, because he was, and like people can see that. And also, like you said, there were so many iconic moments. There were so many iconic moments in this movie where it showed Elvis breaking the literal societal standards and coming out on top. If you think about when he sang he didn't actually sing it, Bestie, Trouble at Westwood Park, but that whole scene showing how he was like, we're not doing the new Elvis. We're not doing the tie. We're not doing the tails. And then like the 68 special when he was like, we're not doing Christmas show. I'm doing the music that I'm passionate about.
I love
he
it.
Stepped on that control and said, right. No, Bestie, I'm in charge.
Right. And people were saying, oh, he didn't actually sing Trouble. But like, if you don't understand why Baz Luhrmann chose that song,
yes.
then you don't understand the mess. Like, I really think creative license was obviously taken. It was dramatized. It was exaggerated. Stuff was like in different locations, in different whatever
yeah.
you want to say. Yeah. But everything in this movie was done for a reason. And if you don't appreciate that, then you're not going to enjoy it. You really need to get immersed. And I think the majority of people are immersed. Like, this is a fair few people who have been one or
yes.
two things and bothered them, and overall something can bother you about a film and you could still love it, but
we're not attacking anyone, we're just putting our two cents in. And also what you said about the stuff that didn't really happen but like it was cool that he added it for like the symbolism or the cinematic experience. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking back to like all the references that he made to flying and how it was
beautiful.
Like at the beginning where it was like, are you ready to fly, and then he like there's
the
a bunch of references to flying,
the hummingbirds.
And then at the very end, when he was talking about like, there's this bird that never lands,
the hummingbird.
And he just sleeps, he like glides through the sky, like that stuff. When he was like, obviously symbolizing dying, like Bestie,
beautiful.
That was gorgeous. Send you to tears, and that's what a piece of art is supposed to do. Is supposed to make you feel 100%. Something. Mm-mm. It was beautiful.
100%. And like, I also felt like, and my friend pointed this out to me, and I thought it was really interesting because she said a lot of it felt montage-y and like music video-y, and not, there was a lot of dialogue, but she felt like there was more footage than dialogue. And I said, that's really interesting. But she said, no, I liked that because it meant that every piece of dialogue was like intentional and more had more drive to back it, like, because there was little. And I was like, you're right, because most of what he said, and I mean most of what he said, I've heard Elvis say.
Exactly.
It's like, it's not just a bunch of quotes Elvis said. Like, if it was just a bunch of like dialogue they made
random
up because they thought, right, Elvis might say that, like, it would just have sucked. So the fact that they did, oh, this is what happened visually, and we're going to do a really cool aesthetic representation, exactly, of that, and pop off. But also on the flip side, Elvis said these words in an interview. Elvis said, and also the footage all the way through, little clips of real Elvis doing stuff, like the mix. Interview, they showed his lips and his eyes, and then they showed him, yeah, Elvis on tour, like very small, like if you blink you'll miss it type stuff, but so, yes, impactful and cool that they added that. And especially at the end, like, obviously everyone, we can get to that later, but the end was really crazy and cool.
Yes, my favorite thing of the whole movie, honestly.
It was so, it honestly just made it that bit more heightened an experience to like see real Elvis. You just get the chills. It's so cool. Yeah. I love the beginning also. I just want to bring it back to the beginning of like, yeah, when they showed the Vegas stuff. Did you not get hyped when they zoomed in on the international? It was like Sandman.
When it was like dun, 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 I was like, yeah,
like it was all so very lit. Something wicked like is in the air, but it was also really cool, yes, and Elvisy and sick, like it sinister had, but also sexy. It had everything.
It had everything. And it also, like you said, it kind of had that like eerie kind of, you don't know what's going to happen. It kind of like that. Somebody's the villain here. It was like very, very, even with some of the songs you think of, like, I know I mentioned this before, like the Craw Fever song or like the Sandman's Coming, just like chilling takes on different songs, yeah, that they added really, in the soundtrack.
It really recontextualizes the songs in different ways. Like, I did not expect them to use Sandman's Coming. Obviously, they changed it to Snowman because, yeah, of the carnal and stuff like that. But yeah, I wouldn't expect them to go into the archives of, like, Elvis soundtrack from, like, this weird... From That's What Happened at the World's Fair or whatever.
Yeah, like, Cotton Candy really, Land.
The thought that went into the soundtrack especially and just everything they showed, like, the detail, you can't not be impressed by that. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
I think... Perfect. I just wanted to say that you said that. I don't know if we're segueing, but like the attention to detail in general, like, hi, that was seeing Graceland in the 50s, seeing the Love Me Tender cutout being literally revealed at the Love Me Tender premiere.
I gagged when they showed, and I mean gagged in a good way. I don't mean gagged. Yeah. But I choked when they showed the Elvis merch from the 50s, the Elvis Presley board game,
yeah!
Presley, whatever, with Austin Butler's face on it. They recreated all that crap. It was so,
so
exciting to
lit.
See. It was gorgeous.
It was so
and,
lit.
The Colonel's office with all the menus on the wall and stuff with Austin Butler's face on it. I was like, the detail they've gone to. And I was so immersed. I was like, by the end of the movie, I'm watching Elvis. Like, it's not Austin. It's not some actor anymore. Like, girl, I am Elvising it up. And he Elvised it
I'm
up.
Seeing it. I love he it. He did. And I... Oh, thinking about it, I honestly, I don't know. And I am like such a sensitive person, but like thinking about this movie, I get like emotional because bestie, so much of it was just absolutely jaw dropping to the point where it's like, you didn't just pull that out. Like, no.
It was so, they ate that. Let's be honest. They did not have to eat that, but they ate that. I will say, I liked how it was all about Elvis. I know a lot of people were complaining, like, oh, Linda's not in it, Ginger's not in it, whatever, and Margaret's not in it. I noticed, but there was nothing while I was watching that I was like, that's not here, I'm disappointed at all, because I felt like it was just about Elvis and that's kind of it. And I said, what would be the actual point, actually, of not showing any love interest except Priscilla? Because obviously Priscilla had an impact on his career. Hello.
And had his child.
Conflict. It was a whole conflict. And his wedding, like, it was a whole conflict with the Colonel, like, girl, right, you're gonna have to marry her now. Mm-hmm. And they very much alluded to it being, like, you know, very, not controlled, but just, you know, orchestrated in that way.
Yeah, pressurized.
Like, and to me, sorry to Ginger and Linda, not to call them out, but they have been on Facebook lately. But, why?
No, yeah, they've been.
I said this to you. I think it's a gross display of entitlement to say you are not going to see this movie because you are not in it. That, grow up, first of all. Second of all, why are you significant? What would you have changed about the movie? I don't see their place in it at all.
Here's what I have to say about that. Because I did. No, you're welcome. No, because I did rant about this over on Instagram as well, because I have feelings. But if you actually saw the movie, so for the people saying, I'm not going to go see it because I am not in it and my history was cut out of the story. Your I hear that. I do. But listen to me. If you would see this movie, you would understand that it is not, it is not about that. It is not, it's the furthest thing. I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine any of Elvis's girlfriends, except literally the ones that they had in there. Dixie, the first one before he got famous. And Priscilla, because he married her and had his her child.
And
I cannot imagine any of the other ones being in there, because it, the movie was not about that. Elvis was more than just a guy who dated a bunch of girls and had a bunch of friends.
I mean, first of all, how long do they want the movie to be? 100 fucking days? Because we're going to show everybody has sex with, like, absolutely not. And also, literally, I think every single character, not just the women, every single character they showed served the plot and the narrative and the story. You
exactly
did not like his fucking the dog in Live a Little Love a Little did not serve the plot in the story. Like, why would you be looking for that? Also, the dog was there.
No, they didn't. They literally didn't show like Graceland being remodeled in the 70s. And if they did, maybe that would be a space for Linda to be in the movie. Did they?
I felt like they did.
Did they show Graceland being turned into red?
No, but they did show Priscilla picking out swatches. So they were always remodeled.
But that was for the plane, wasn't it?
Oh, you're right.
That was for the plane. Cool,
I love that part too. Like, just little details like that. That, like, yeah, I gagged. I love that.
Yeah, they're which like, is like, what? I don't know how accurate that is, right.
But I don't care. Do I care?
No, literally, my point was just that, like, bestie, none of what they covered in the movie, none of what they covered in the movie to me, if I had to explain it, was about his chase to go after what kind of stuff that meant something to him, what he was passionate about, his dreams, what mattered to him within his career and within his and literal career. It was about that. It was about him and Parker and his career. And it was not about how many years he spent dating Cindy from down the street. It just wasn't.
Fully, what did they serve to the narrative? And I also think if we zoom out, as a director, Baz Luhrmann always manages to depict the American dream, which is what Elvis's whole story is, if you fucking deep it. The American dream, which, hello, if you know anything about the American dream, it doesn't exist. So you feel hollow by the end of it because you can't get there. The Rock of Eternity, hello. They said all of this in the movie if you were paying attention. So my
literally, he's like, it's always too far away.
Always too far away. And when you get there, it's lonely because it's eternal. Mm-hmm. Because, girl, you can't be fulfilled. Oh, and he loved.
I could cry.
And he said the love, romantic love, wasn't enough because when he was on stage, he was feeling all the love. And then afterwards, he was like, girl, when he was off stage, it's not, it's never enough because the American dream is not achievable because you never, if you've ever read Great Gatsby, anything, which Baz Luhrmann directed Great Gatsby, always does literally the American dream. So if you want to zoom out, what does showing his girlfriend in 1960, 70, whatever, you know, contribute to this narrative and this tale? It doesn't. So I'm sorry that you're bummed that you weren't in it, whoever, because a lot of people, it's not just the women in his life, some loads of people weren't in it in his life, and that's whatever. But it's because it's not about every detail of his life, it's about the Black community being, you know, represented for the first time, his influence. It's about his career life, how he was, yes, he was controlled, manipulated, how he broke out from that and was the true rebel, and how he was gone too soon because he worked so hard for these bitches screaming in the audience because he loved you. Hello.
And I think, honestly, okay, so here's another point that I wanted to make, because this is something that I was upset about when I saw it for the first time. When I saw this movie for the first time, I was turned off in some ways because I was like, this didn't live up to what I wish was in it. And Maggie was like, girl, you need to put that to rest.
I said, you're wrong to everything you brought. No, you did. I was like, you're wrong.
But the thing is that because what you just said about him, you know, gone too soon because he was working so hard for the people that loved him, the people that he loved, I was like, well, why didn't they show the fact that it wasn't just the fact that he was working hard. It was the fact that his body was shutting down. It was the fact that he was really sick. He had all these health problems. He took drugs because of this reason. He took drugs. He wasn't just a junkie. That wasn't the whole point of the movie though. Like
fully.
That stuff is very, if I were to say this to somebody who didn't like the movie for like nitpicky reasons where it's like this wasn't portrayed, I'm like, okay, it didn't, for the relevance within the plot of this narrative, of the point that they were trying to get across, everything was in there just the right amount. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, bestie, if you wanted to, then if you saw this movie as a person who wasn't an Elvis fan and you wanted to then go home, you're like, wow, that was such a cool, I didn't know that about Elvis. I didn't know that blah, blah, blah. I didn't know this song. And then you fall down the Elvis rabbit hole and then you start doing your research and then you start reading books like Destined to Die Young.
It's a gateway.
Literally, you start reading books like The Gospel Side of Elvis and learning that gospel was some of his influence as well. You start learning Destined to Die Young and his health problems and all that stuff. And then you become us, bestie. You become me and Maggie. Fully. Okay?
And that's also, it. Like, I think, yeah. And I think, about the drug stuff and, like, them not going deep, which I think is a valid point, whether you disagree now or whatever. I think a lot of stuff, actually, that people were expecting to be shown wasn't shown, so Baz Luhrmann could strategically make it a 12 rating, the lowest he could make it, so more people could see it. You did say that.
So that's such a good point.
See it, because girl, his whole angle, like you said, is about making young people interested in Elvis. How can young people be interested in Elvis if they can't go see the movie because it's a 15, because they showed him, you know, pilling it up? So yes, it was implied, right? And they did show, I think, enough for you to infer as like a moviegoer like what was going on, if you can, you know, infer stuff, you know what I mean, if you can read between the lines.
To me, it was like they showed, upon seeing it another time, like at first I was like, okay, well, they just showed him as like a pill popping junkie that like he was just taking them because he was tired and he was lonely. But then I saw it again and I was like, he was taking them because he was tired. He was taking them because he was tired. He was exhausted. He was collapsing in the hallways. And that wasn't like, they didn't make it like a big thing where it's like every single scene he was popping pills and he was like doing second of every scene. And it was also, so subtle.
They showed it from an early stage before he went to the army, very early, which is so true, because so many people think Elvis got fat because he did drugs. Like, he was doing drugs in the 70s, like only when he died. He was doing drugs his whole life.
People think that he started drugs in the army because he couldn't stay awake. That is not true. He started them in the 50s because he was exhausted. He was exhausted back then. The guy in the car who gave him the pill was like, this will put a little pep in your step or something, because Elvis was so tired.
Which, and that's like, why when you came home from the first showing and said all this, I was like, no, girl, you missed the whole thing. And I'm so glad you got to see you again.
I know. No, and that's just like part of the thing where I was like, I need to go again and I need to see it for what it is. And I think like if you see it for what it is and you realize that it gave just enough so that way, if you are interested then to go, like, to be honest with you, I said this to Maggie too. I was like, books like Destined to Die Young, my favorite Elvis book, which really details, you know, the backstory of Elvis's drug use and really is crucial information to know. If you know anything about Elvis, you've got to know what's in that book. But it's like, bestie, this movie alludes to those problems enough where you become curious and then you want to go research it more. If they would have put it all in and detailed it all, we would have been there. We would have been there for 6 hours. And like, you can't include everything to as much detail as some people would like.
I'm pretty sure the original cut was something like 4 hours, Baz Luhrmann said, like, reportedly.
Crazy.
Something I really appreciated, which, like, from watching Elvis being depicted so wrongly and so exaggeratively in the past, is that obviously Austin had a really great sense of Elvis as a person and not as a celebrity or a character, but they didn't show a lot of stereotypical stuff. And I really appreciated this detail. They didn't show him eating food once. And I ate that because, well, there was no, it's so easy and lazy to show Elvis as a fat, you know, foodaholic or whatever you want to call it, and make a joke out of him or make it, you know, fat phobic or whatever you want to call it. there would just be, it would just be unnecessary to to steer clear of that, I think was a very good choice. And yes, I'm saying choice because everything in this film was a choice. And don't tell me it wasn't intentional. This was a piece of art and I loved it. What bits did you cry at?
Oh my gosh. No, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Because tell me why I cried at things that were not meant to make you cry, but because me and you know so much and love so much about Elvis, the choices that they made, like you said, and that's one of my notes too. One of my first notes is that you can see the amount of care and the amount of love and respect that they have poured into this film to try and make Elvis seem like a human being and not the image and not the caricature. I mean, you think about how many times Austin has said that, and it's just like, bestie, you cry because you see how intricately it was depicted about certain things. And it's like, oh, they're going at it from such an important like angle where it's like, you need to show it this way, Bessie, because he was a human and he was struggling and he was, it was beautiful.
Yeah, I really got emotional hearing stuff from Austin as Elvis, obviously, in the film that I know Elvis said and thought and, you know, all the time said. And it was just so cool to see scenes by scene recreated so perfectly to Elvis standard level. And it was stunning.
I'm going to be 40 soon and no one will remember me.
Literally everything that came out of his mouth was Elvis. Everything that came out of his mouth. It could be all over in a flash. Stuff we know Elvis said. And I just... I ate it with a spoon. I don't want to call it flawless because if you haven't seen it, why are you listening? Turn it off.
Turn it off.
But I really, really did think that the first time I saw it, that it was flawless. And having seen it again, there were different things I noticed, different things I cried at, different parts I appreciated more or less or whatever. And I think it's such an experience. Like, even if you're not an Elvis fan, go see it. Or like tell your friends who aren't Elvis fans, or take them with you to go see it. Because it's not just an Elvis film. It's not stuff with Elvis that's gatekeeping. It's not gatekeeping Elvis. It's giving you Elvis.
No, it literally is. And the thing is that Baz Luhrmann has said, and I said this at the beginning of the episode, bestie, but he has said young people don't care about Elvis and I'm here to change their minds. Like, hi. And the thing is, you can attest to this too. People in our lives, both of our lives, that they don't listen to Elvis on the daily. They don't know anything about Elvis, but they are coming to us because we like Elvis and they're like, we want to see this movie with you. And then they're going and they're watching. And how many TikToks have you seen of teenage girls going, forget about Top Gun. Elvis is my new favorite movie. Like,
I loved that. And yeah, I mean, at the cinema I went to the first time, they had a Starbucks in the cinema. They were doing an Elvis drink. Like, they're just hyping it up.
Lit. And
it was just so fun to see like different interpretations of how they could just promote the movie, I guess. So little interactive things. And also in the movie, my friend said this the night we went to see it. She was like, I loved all throughout when they showed the photographers, because it made me feel like that picture exists. Like when they're crying on the steps, I know that's a sad moment, but she's like, does that picture exist of them crying? And I was like, of course. So she really liked that element. She said, that's going to make me want to go home and look at the picture of him and know that that was in the movie. And they did that. Like, I was like, yeah. And all throughout, like even at the concert, I know he didn't really sing Trouble, but he really did do that leg thing that they showed from behind with the legs in the black and white reel.
The whole black and white montage was lit. The whole black and white thing.
Every choice they made with the colors, the editing, stunning. And it, honestly, it could have been a book. That's how detailed it was. And I think every bit was justified in some creative aspect, like of licensing, whatever.
Definitely.
And they showed every bit significantly well, I think. Like things that, like him saying... You said this, you pointed this out, when he was holding his mom's face saying, I promise. First of all, really cute moment. But also a moment where you realize, girl, Elvis's priorities are being taken from him because of the fame and the, like, you know, his priorities are having to change, not necessarily because he wanted them to, but because he had no choice in the matter because he was so famous and so big. The bits where he was rolling out of Graceland in his grape Cadillac in a fit and trying to switch the radio, but all he could hear was his own music,
songs,
not being able to escape this persona, this constant like, you're being when you're so famous that you can't get away from your own persona, queen, and that's what it was.
Yes. And that famous, is...
Oh, eating him alive. That was a dialogue used in the film by Tom Hanks, said it as Tom Parker. And he said...
Eating him alive.
She could have ate him alive. That's what she said when he snatched his coat. Stunning. And I've always said that, like, Elvis in the 50s was a taboo because he was so sexy, but also because of the race stuff. But you could see it from two sides. Like, you could see it, yes, he was controversial because he was, because to the adults, because he's, you know, a threat to segregation, he's a threat to white supremacy, like you said, but also for teenage girls who were just in it for the sexual stuff. That's a huge part of, like, emancipation at the time. It's very early on, but you can see that, like, girl, these girls were dying to, like, break out and see something different and new. And that's the whole point of Elvis, is that he was so different and new and cool. Well,
history, like, the number one song on the charts or something crazy like that was How Much Is This Doggy in the Window? Before Elvis came into the scene. That was the number one song.
That is wild.
I'm not even kidding. I'm not even kidding. That was topping the charts. And then Elvis came out and he was like, well, and everyone was like, whoa.
I loved
that. America took over.
The use of juxtaposition in the film was my probably favorite thing. So when they showed, for example, when they showed Hank Snow's son.
Hank Snow.
Pardon me. Or how do you think I feel? And just how tame and sort of, not electrifyingly cool they were, and then showing Elvis was so important, because I think now if you go back and listen to Elvis as a modern music person, you're gonna be like, girl, what's the difference between him and like Dean Martin or whatever, like I don't hear it, but actually they really did a good job of showcasing how different Elvis was. And when Colonel Parker said, I can't tell you how different he looked or how weird he looked or something like that with his makeup, they really made a point of telling you why he was special and different to what was going on, in case you didn't already know.
Oh my gosh, the whole Lauderdale kind of Beale Street courts, that contrast. Whole montage where everyone was like, all of his like school friends were like, oh, like where's your pink clothes, bestie, what's your hair look like, they're all making fun of him because they're like, where's this, where's your greased hair today, like where's your pink shoes.
Yeah, he was fully being bullied.
No, literally, but because he looked so different and he was like so different for the time, and I love that they showed that, because everybody else was like cookie cutter, like white t-shirt, jeans, black Converse, man. Yeah, and then Elvis was out here with his
it showed, like, not only was he different to performers, he was just different to his peers as well. Like, he'd never really fit in anywhere fully except in the places he did, and he flourished, and people still to this day criticize him for being himself and showing his roots, and it's wild to me. One really notable scene in the film was when they showed Martin Luther King's assassination and Elvis's, you know, reaction to that, and how that sparked the If I Can Dream, and actually Elvis being not political, but Elvis being able to speak his mind through song, which I feel like is Elvis's main, you know, reason, like, for being
When things are too difficult to say, sing.
I loved that part. That was a beautiful part of the film when the Reverend, and they flashed back to that and then came to, because it wasn't Elvis's style, like in interviews or whatever, to make a statement, and it would have just really reshaped his image, if you will. And I feel like that was a beautiful middle point for Elvis to be able to, through song, say something without actually being scrutinized for saying something. It's really smart of him. And also, my friend came out of the movie being like, was Elvis like a musical whiz or something, because I saw he was the conductor of the music, like when they showed That's the Way I loved that scene when he was going give it to me with the drums and stuff, and you really showed Elvis
up the octave,
talented musician, and not just like a set of pipes, which I feel like a lot of people take him for granted in like they really showed him being like actually very musically knowledgeable and talented, and that was a big plus for me.
Definitely.
I found a lot of scenes really notable.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say too about the MLK scene. I loved like the dialogue of how when Colonel said, Oh, that's a tragedy. Or like he was talking about JFK actually, because it was MLK and then JFK. All the assassination stuff. He was like, that's a tragedy, but it has nothing to do with us. And Elvis was like, it has everything to do with us. And I feel like people don't understand. It has everything to do with us. I feel like people don't understand like how much Elvis actually cared about what was going on in his country. Like he was very patriotic. He was like, he did care. He cared about people, whether they were his fans or not. And he cared about what was going on in the world and how people were getting treated and stuff like that. And so for him to like say, bestie, it has everything to do with us. Like I have a voice. Literally Steve Bindler? I don't know. Anyways, in the movie when he was like, Elvis, you have to say something. This is your responsibility. Like you have to say something. You can't get out there and just sing "Here Comes Santa Claus" when all this stuff is happening. And Elvis fully knew that. He knew that he had to, like you said, more or less make a statement. He couldn't make like a press statement.
And that's exactly what he meant by when things are too
difficult to say.
Yeah, because girl, he could have been shot for saying stuff. These people were getting shot for protesting. Elvis can't make a statement. He's going to be shot for saying something. So what else could I do but be like, I'm just going to sing. But the message of the song is the ulterior motive. And it's so smart and just a genius move on Elvis's part and Steve's part. And the way that was, for me, the pivotal part of the film was when he looked at the colonel and was like, while I can think, it was so cool.
It was amazing.
All the magazine covers that showcased that and like how big of a moment in time it was. Yes. And the fact that literally the beautiful imagery of them turning their back on the Christmas bullshit and being like, no, this is happening in the world right now and I can't not do something about it or say something.
Beautiful. Literally the scene like flips or like Elvis walks over and they're like, put the lights up on the name or whatever, and he walks into like the different set and sings, and it's like, oh my gosh, looked
amazing in every scene. I know, like, we've been really critical and analytical, so now we can just gush over how stunning the costumes were.
So stunning. It's unreal. The lace shirts, the accuracy of the jumpsuits, the gospel, like up above my head, like that
special costumes were the best. Like the
so good
of beauty. Like I love, everyone loves the suits, whatever, but the leather suit, Elvis in leather high, and the like you said, the red and then the white. That showing that, and also I liked the little nod to Live a Little, Love a Little when he was in his suit for that, and they were obviously filming the blue. Cool to see. And honestly, I think costuming is a category in the Oscars. So if they don't win something, I'll be pissed.
They have to. I just can't live in a world where they don't. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Right. I don't. It's
I'm
so
pretty
good.
Sure, I don't know if this is fact, but I'm pretty sure Prada did the costumes. I could be wrong. I know they did the, you know, the red carpet looks for the cast,
for the gala. Well, I was just gonna say too, I watched, you guys might know, but like that little interview that Priscilla did with Vogue, and they were talking about the picture of her and Elvis in the hospital holding Lisa Marie, and she was in that pink dress and he was in the blue suit type moment. They recreated that to a T in the movie, and she said that they had that pink dress for the movie replicated exactly the way that hers was made. So it's like, Bessie, they were going out and replicating outfits to wear, which is like, whoa. Like the lace shirts had me gassed. I was crying.
Oh, the 50s looks were one of my friend's favorites. She said like, no, he peaked fashion at that point. Like she loved like the pink suits and stuff like that. And also like you said, his casual clothes. I think his army uniform and his work uniform were really cool to see too. Like
Crown Electric.
You just saw him in every era you wanted to see him in, you know.
Yes.
Not just like the jumpsuits that we all know, like they didn't just show those, they showed like the gypsy jumpsuit, they showed the tiger one, they showed cool like interesting jumpsuits as well as like the plain ones.
Well, they did that little montage too of him like kneeling with his arms
and
out,
it changed,
and they, like
10 times. I
yeah it flashed all I these different iconic it. Suits
Yeah, I fainted, lived, died, came back to life.
I was having an out of body experience, and I don't know what you wanted to talk about after this. Let me not get ahead of myself because I was going to go to the ending, but keep going.
Okay, a couple of things I did just want to say before we got to the ending of the film and wrapping
up.
I really liked, again, with everyone being shown being assassinated and violence sort of becoming a big thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I think they really did a good job of showing actually how paranoid Elvis was, that his career and life was going to end one way or another. Like, either he was going to become unpopular because he was, you know, becoming, you know, family orientated or whatever. Whether it was in the 50s or the 60s, like, girl, in the 50s when he was becoming, you know, socially acceptable and everyone started not to like him and he thought, no one likes me. When he had to go to the army, he thought, no one's going to remember me. When he had to get married to Priscilla, not had to get married to Priscilla, but when he got married to Priscilla and he thought, no one's going to like me because now I'm like, girl, I'm married, I'm sold
off. I'm taken.
Like, no one's gonna want me, I'm taken. Because he was being gaslit all of the time by the colonel, thinking this was like the case. Because, girl, his fans would have loved him regardless. But continuing that, and then thinking everyone's going to want, like, I'm going to die because someone's going to kill me. And it's so sad, but also so teed that they showed that. And I loved that because every given moment in Elvis's life, he thought this could end, this could end, this could end in one way or another.
Yeah.
Whether it's success or the end, you know what I mean? And I feel like they did a beautiful job of justifying the end of the film.
I'm getting like sad about that because like at the end too, I think like the end really started, the start of the end was when he was in the car with Priscilla and she was, you know, say what you want about the stuff with Priscilla, I don't really want to talk about it, we all know it's not accurate and I don't really want to give it attention because that's not the point of the movie, that's not what's
but tea. I think it served as a nice rounding off because it meant Elvis was leaving familyhood yet again.
Yes,
for
yes.
His career yet again. I think it really served. I think every scene with Priscilla, I know people don't, a lot of people don't like her, a lot of people love her, whatever. I just I'm neutral on her at this point because I feel like the use of Priscilla in the film only
served what needed to serve.
It just reflected on Elvis every time. Like anyone saying, why was Priscilla? It's not about her though, even though she was in it, yes. I don't think she was in it that heavily either, but whatever.
Not
but
even
when she was in it, she served a purpose to the storyline, and that's what matters because, girl, you can't leave it at like, well, he got with someone else. Because, first of all, a foreign audience, as in a foreign Elvis audience, like people who don't know Elvis, it's not a satisfying ending, first of all. Like what happened to the love story angle? Like, obviously, for storytelling purposes, it works really well. But also, are you going to tell me he wasn't heartbroken when they got divorced? You're lying. People love to
I hate
like
what people say.
And I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. But when people act like they didn't love each other, it's a bullshit. Elvis was crushed when he thought his family life was over with her.
Because he always, I don't want to get too deep into it, but he always did want that traditional life, bestie. Like, he always, he loved,
he valued it.
He valued, but he always wanted that traditional, like, Gladys always wanted him to have, like, little grandbabies and, like, little Elvis. He would talk to his girlfriends about little Elvises running around the house. Like, he wanted that traditional lifestyle as well. He just couldn't have both. But my point of that was, like, saying, like, you're missing the point if you're like, well, Priscilla didn't really do that. Priscilla didn't really act like that. That wasn't the... If you wanted a movie about the relationship, bestie, this wasn't it. This wasn't it. This wasn't Child Bride, the movie. It just wasn't. And so I don't see the point of picking that apart. But the part where I think it just really started to make me emotional for the end was when they were sitting in the car and they were holding hands.
When he held her hand.
They were holding hands and basically she was like, asking him how he was, and he's basically at this point burnt out, he's not doing great, bestie, he's like, oh, I don't have any dreams left. Like, it was just like, oh, so, and then it was like, and then he boarded the plane, right? He boarded the plane and like turned around. No, I'm gonna start to literally cry because why did he turn around and wave to the fans that were like standing there?
That was the most poignant moment for me, when he truly not turned his back on his family, but he truly always had their best interests at heart and no one else's, girl, not even his own.
Absolutely.
Like, he prioritized them over anyone. And that's what the colonel said at the end as Tom Hanks. Girl, that's what Tom Hanks said at the end as the colonel.
No.
That's what killed him, was his devotion. And I know you didn't like that originally, and I hope you've changed your mind, because that was one of my favorite parts.
Well, the thing is that at the end, I know the colonel says stuff like...
I loved it.
No. I do have a different take on it. But I will get to that. But like, basically, when the colonel was saying, like, given everything that he's gone through, given what he felt like, given what he looked like, given they did like the whole tabloid thing where it's like, well, Elvis like is, you know, fat and 40, like his waistline is blah blah blah, like they did all that stuff, and the colonel was like, no matter what happened, like at the end he still went out there and he gave it everything that he had in him still to his dying day. And then they showed like, yeah. Oh, I'm getting emotional, but they like showed the Unchained Melody part and him
when they switched
singing
to real Elvis. Did you
know? And that's, I don't think you even can comprehend the first time that I saw it. And I told Maggie before we even started this podcast call that like, if I could live one cinematic moment over and over again for the rest of my life, it would be that moment. I literally, it took my breath. It was like as if I fell off a tire swing at recess, bestie, and got the wind knocked out of me. Like it took my breath out of my body. I looked at my mom. I just looked at her in pure shock, like my mouth open. I was like, they did not just do that. And I looked back at the screen and I fully just lost it. Like I felt like almost on the brink of passing out. Like I was like, you're hyperventilating fully, like, because anybody who knows me, like that's my favorite Elvis performance. Like that is it for me. And the fact that they switched from Austin and then showed Elvis and then showed the montage of the
I loved that too. The real Elvis footage for the rest of the finish was really well done and clever. But I remember that point, like my hands clasped over my mouth. I was like, like I screamed. And I remember being like, girl, my friends don't even know how big a deal this is that they're showing Elvis nearly dying. You know what I mean? When I say that, like in every other biopic, it ends so anticlimactically at a point in his life that just was not the end, and they went so far with it to show him a week before he died or what, however long that never been done before.
We've never seen respectfully for them to have switched over to the real Elvis, for them to see like, this is the man, this is him, like hi.
And the impact.
And then even at the very end when they were like, Elvis Presley is still the number one best-selling solo artist. His legacy still continues to live on today. Like, it was just absolutely beautiful. And I did want to really quickly pull up my thought. I have it written down in my notes about that thing with the colonel, because I did have a problem with that at first. Because at the ending, you know this, the first time I saw it, I did truly have a problem with how the colonel at the end basically said something like, what killed Elvis? It was because, you know, some people say it was the drug, some people say it was me. But at the end of the day, it was because he loved all of you so much that that's what killed Elvis. You all did, in like so many words. Which
but that
I was, like,
was so funny, because that was my probably favorite part of the whole thing.
Well, and then I thought about it, because at first it was like, why are you making me guilty for feeling like I killed Elvis with the love that he had for me, because I loved him so much? But then it was like, bestie, but that is so T, because the reason he kept pushing himself, the reason he took the drugs, no matter for what, you know, bodily health reason it was, he took the drugs, he kept pushing himself, he made all these sacrifices because he loved us. He wanted to come through for us. He never wanted to disappoint us. And he knew how much we loved him as well. And he just, to his dying day, literally, this is what the colonel said at the end, like, bestie, to his dying day, he gave everything he had for us because he loved us and he knew how much we loved him. And it's like, at the end of the day, the love that he had for us was what kept him going, whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, bestie. So it's like, he did die, but he died striving. He died doing what he loved doing, which is like,
And that's why I remember talking to you the first time and being like, that's why I loved it so much, because it was so true to me. I was like, girl, if anything killed Elvis, you could say, like, literally quote what the colonel said at the end, Tom Hanks, fully, girl, he didn't die of a heart attack. He didn't die of drugs. He didn't die of anything except for, like, being so
worn out
delivering Elvis Presley to the people who wanted
him.
And I've said this before on the podcast, I think. I was like, girl, he had enough. God said, give it back. I want him back.
That's
now.
Literally written on his tombstone.
The second time I went to see it, the bit where I lost it was the bit where Elvis was singing. Obviously, it was Elvis's real voice throughout, anyways, mixed with some Austin in the 50s. But when this, when he said, "I'm coming home, wait for me," and they showed him in the church, flashback to when he was a kid, like,
oh, when he's running,
speaking to the heavens, "I'm coming home." Yeah. You don't understand how hard I was crying.
No, I'm about to cry right now. Like, hi.
What other bits did you cry? I cried at the very start when I first saw it. When it was like Elvis Presley, I started screaming, crying. Choking.
I started doing like literally quietly just like appreciating it so much. Like I didn't have to be sad for me to cry. It like the things that touched my heart were just moments of like, you know, him with his mom, or like moments of him, really the parts that got me were toward the end where he was like, "I'm gonna be 40 soon and no one will remember me." And also the part where he was talking to Priscilla and was like, "When you're 40 and I'm 50, we'll be back together." And like he never made it to 50. So it's like
I do want to say, like, with all the sad moments, I also just had like thrills and goosebumps throughout, as well as sad bits. Like it was a roller coaster of emotions. And it also, one of the best scenes for me was when he was screaming, "You're fired," into the microphone. First of all, he looked
scary. "You're fired!"
It was so impassioned and a beautiful scene. A beautiful scene, like,
but just the because when he was
acted and shot and everything, stunning. And that was him breaking out of the mold because he was being taken advantage of and just losing his shit. Whether that happened, how it happened in the film or not, it happened, bestie. And I loved
it. The thing is, that was another con of mine. I had a lot of cons the first time I saw it, but that was another con. Because I was like, bestie, they never had to shut down a show because he went off the rails like that. They never had to do that, which. Yeah, maybe they didn't. But like the way that that was told story-wise of him being like, "I'm caught in a trap. I can't get out because Colonel
perfect use of has the some lyrics.
Big debts, baby." I was like, you're lying.
Perfect and then use of the song. And also, I don't think it was totally, even though a lot of it, the bits you could say that didn't happen, I don't think they were necessarily unrealistic because there is literal audio footage of Elvis saying, "Fuck the Hilton, fuck Las Vegas," on stage.
Actually, so this is the last time I'm ever playing.
Right, it wasn't like Elvis would never do that. Girl, yes he would.
Have you ever heard the audio of him? This is the closest thing I could relate it to, but when he was like, "I will rip your tongue off by the roots."
He said that. He said that in the movie really quietly. Did you hear that? Well, they showed him. They showed him saying it quietly when that man came on the stage.
Oh yeah, when he was trying to get attacked by that man.
Yeah, rather than saying it into the mic like he did, but he probably did say it a couple times. But honestly, I loved that. I loved the moments, like I said before, when he said stuff that I've heard Elvis say. And it was so cool because they did not bullshit on the dialogue or the plot or anything. And I want that respect on Elvis's name, and he gave it. And when they showed, I know the bit with Unchained Melody, like everyone loved, but I loved when they showed him doing the speech.
Actually, oh, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a dreamer. When I was a kid, I was a dreamer. Like, okay.
I hate that. I loved that they showed real Elvis, because that was the moment of like, Elvis was a real person. Like, it was stunning, stunning. I loved the beginning and the middle.
I think that like the whole part of like, "In every dream that I've ever dreamed has come true like 1,000 times. Him, he didn't write, girl, he didn't write any of the songs that he sang, but he wrote that speech. And I think that that's so impactful because those were his words that he felt. And like, after we've seen all the stuff from Tupelo, and after we've seen the Shake Rag stuff and the Beale Street stuff, and him saying, "Every dream that I've ever dreamed," like, basically, we saw those dreams in this movie. We saw it all. We saw him fighting for those dreams and things that he was passionate about, chasing those passions and the things that meant something to him. I think that that's what the movie was about for me overall, was just like seeing that. And that's why I say, like, when people get upset because Ginger or Linda or whatever wasn't in it, I'm like, I understand that I get where you're coming from, but the movie just wasn't about that. It was about so much more than that. And like, not that we're saying that your history doesn't matter. It fully doesn't. No one's taking that away from you, but this movie was just not about that. And I think that
It would have just been so unnecessary and sort of a waste of the time in the film. Yeah, like, they can't do everything, and they had to use the time really wisely and make choices that were so like editorial choices to make. And the stuff they showed for a long time was really significant, and the stuff they showed in snippets and the details are stuff for like for people who really want to notice that kind of thing.
Right, and really, like, I
loved it, and I love Baz Luhrmann. Honestly,
Baz Luhrmann could literally, I really hope, like, one day, yeah, I have one day I could walk up to Austin Butler and be like, thank you so much. I literally would just love to, Baz Luhrmann, I would love to just thank them. Like, because as Elvis fans, we've said this before, but like, Elvis fans are some of the most devoted, passionate people on the planet. And this movie, like we said, meant so much to so many of us. We had such high hopes for it. And the way that they've done it is just absolutely, it's done right. Like everyone's saying, it's given the justice it needs to give. And yeah, they've brought the humanity back to Elvis and given his story meaning.
I love it. And I loved seeing Austin talk about it in interviews and stuff, and how he articulates himself. Is he's really well spoken and knows his stuff, and he's really good at expressing how he did Elvis. And we mentioned this too, like you said, obviously the movie was shut down for COVID, so it was so prolonged process for everyone who was part of it,
right?
But we were like, girl, that enabled him to be able to really embody Elvis, because it got
such a blessing.
So he had more time to become Elvis. And I feel like that's the difference between his performance and possibly, I don't want to compare it with anyone else's, but anyone else's.
Right. He even said, during that time we were shut down, I did nothing but spend my time connecting to every part of Elvis that I could.
Meant to be.
And it shows. It shows.
It really showed. And it was just going that extra mile, which, girl, he didn't even have to. And it wasn't even supposed to be that way. But it was truly meant to be for him that happened, because, you know, he got given that extra time. And that's just a little Elvis magic right there. Yeah.
Elvis magic, period.
I really appreciate the whole cast and him included.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I was just going to say, I hope that this movie does get acknowledgement and gets, you know, at least nominated for awards, because I do truly, truly believe that it is award winning. And I believe that Elvis was award winning, period. Elvis Presley, the human being, was award winning in so many aspects.
Award worthy.
He deserves this. Literally, like, I keep saying it, but he deserves it more than anybody that I know. And just like, I was also thinking about this too, like the ending of the movie and the whole like Unchained Melody section of them bringing the real Elvis into the movie and showing, you know, the man behind the story that we've just all seen. Like, I can't, it's so unique to me and so special that people love Elvis to this extent, where it's like just bringing his picture onto the scene of a movie after we've just watched this, you know, film about all of that. It's like
humanity on his name and respect.
Literally, but you know, people sit in that theater and they're sobbing, and they knew what they were doing by doing that. Like, they knew that would completely wreck everybody. But it's like, how many other people could you say that about? Like, how many other entertainers could you just have that moment with and completely just, you know, lose it? Because people love him so much, and that is so special that they, just by showing his picture on a screen, people are clapping, people are standing up, people go, 12-minute standing ovation at Cannes Film Festival. 12-minute standing ovation. 12 minutes for Elvis? Yes, sir. I do believe that that's correct.
Fully. And I'm, honestly,
everybody on that team has got my applause. Everybody, Elvis, you have gotten,
because the cast was so big and also so diverse, that it really did showcase as well Elvis's scope of musical knowledge and interaction with actually everyone. Like, it didn't show him as some out of touch like white guy trying to make money off of people. It really showed him as an educated, musically gifted person who was involved. He was in the midst of everything that's happening culturally, politically, everything. He was there and witnessed it all. So yeah, it really helped them to show, obviously, Little Richard, everyone who played somebody in that movie, Little Richard, Fats Domino, BB King, sister, oh my god, you need to help me, who else was in it?
Big Mama Thornton. Big Mama Thornton.
Rosetta Tharpe. And
Rosetta.
Girl, but all of those people and all those people who played those people, phenomenal performance. I love the Little Richard moment. That was so cool to see. And I've never seen anyone he looked just like Little Richard.
I think the whole, you know, a lot of the people in that movie look just like Elvis. And look just like Elvis.
Just like Elvis, girl.
Everybody in that movie looked just like Elvis.
The kid who played Elvis was also really talented and looked just like Elvis, and really gave the feel of like childhood wonder and just like experiencing that for the first time is really cool to see that. Because yeah, they could have referenced that or like flashed back to that, which they did, but like they really showcased it a really nice amount. His eyes looking in on this like taboo performance, and like, oh, I
it was great.
Died and thrived and got my life. So very much so love you. And it's bringing Elvis back into fruition at such a pivotal time. And the timing's just right because it's just after COVID. So cinemas obviously are coming back and films are coming back.
Yes.
Imagine if this came out in quarantine and no one went to see it. Like, no.
It wouldn't be such a big thing. And what I've noticed too is that accounts like mine and yours and Travis's and people's all over the Elvis community, not even accounts in the Elvis community, but like Spotify and like, you know, things like that. People like... Yeah. Elvis is topping the charts. Elvis is number one in the box office. Elvis is, I've gained like 300 followers in a couple of days. Yeah. Like Elvis is coming back. He's coming back. Elvis is back, bestie. He is.
Elvis lives.
Elvis lives. And the thing is that I literally saw somebody post about this today. People die two times. They die once when they physically leave the earth, and they die again when somebody somewhere says their name for the last time. And it's like, bestie, Elvis, like, will never die twice. Like, he might not be here physically, but he's still here because people will never stop talking about him.
Elvis
people
is going to be here stop. With the cockroaches and the dust. Like, Elvis is lasting. And, yes. Oh, I loved that moment, that, like, that ironic... The use of irony when he said, I've never done anything lasting, and we're sat in the theater watching the film about your life. Beautifully done. And the way that he said, I've never done a film. They specifically did this on purpose. Oh. I've never done a film I can be proud of. You're watching a film he can be proud of. You are sat in the theater watching a film he can be proud of.
No, that wrecked me.
Ended my life. Suicide was committed in that theater because I died once and twice and four times. I loved it. Honestly, TCP with TLC. I don't know why I said that at all.
I love Elvis so bad. Did you notice that? I love Elvis.
I actually thought you were an Elton John stan.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't be more proud. Like, I couldn't be more proud of him. He deserves all of this buzz and all of this success. And it's been a long time coming, but like, I do definitely feel like this movie is just going to help him out so much and bring so much success to like his story, because he was such a unique and special person. Not saying he deserves like praise or accolades or like bow down to him, but he's a historical figure and a cultural icon for a reason, and
he just deserved the respect. And I feel like that's what
he deserves. Respect.
It didn't depict him in a stereotypical way. It didn't show him, you know, fat drug addict with no talent. Like, it showed him really intellectual musically as well as really well-rounded and justified in every sense, and just so Austin just did a really good job, and I would not rather have anyone else play Elvis, in my opinion. I don't want to see the next one in 50 years when it's someone else playing. I don't, like, I will go see it whatever comes out. I don't want to say the end all be all, but it's just the standard, honestly. I can't praise him enough.
To what we've had up until today, this is by far the best Elvis depiction, the best Elvis movie, the best Elvis, you know, retelling of whatever you want to say of the major points and the important parts of his life, you know, that we have. And it's just so special. And I couldn't be more proud.
Yeah. I'm really happy that it's got the hype it deserved.
Yes.
People are going to see it with their families who love Elvis, and like, it's getting new people in, and it's just, it's not, you know, it's a good starting point. It's a great starting point if you're a new fan, and it's also a great,
that's what we said,
when you are a fan already. It's a hot take also on a biopic. I said this earlier, but like, it's not been lazily done. It's so easy to make a biopic of someone's life from start to finish if you Google them, like, you know what I mean? But it was so creatively done, and that's why I liked it. It had the flair and the capacity to keep you on the edge of your seat the whole time, or keep you entertained or satisfied the whole time, with goosebumps across your neck and like tears rolling down your face, and then bits where you laugh, bits where you really appreciate Elvis in general for like different things that are unexpected you appreciate Elvis for. And like my friend came out like, Elvis is really funny, or like Elvis is really whatever. Like, yeah, yeah. He's a human. He's not just a puppet on a stage. Like,
and that's
everything.
That's exactly what this movie is. It, and I keep saying it, Bessie, but like it is true. Like, this movie brought Elvis's humanity back. Like, it strayed so far from the image of who Elvis was and really showed why things happened and what he felt as things were happening. And like you were saying too about, you know, this movie is great for people who love Elvis already or for people who don't know anything about Elvis. And that was really Baz's goal. And it came through so well because he said, like, this movie is for young people, it's for old people, it's for everyone in between. And that is so true. And I think that that's why I really am praising this movie so much, because it's a great starting point. It's a great educational base for people just who might be interested in any aspect of this movie, whether it's the cast or Elvis himself or the music or, you know, the soundtrack, whatever, to then become, you know, go down the Elvis rabbit hole and learn more. I think there's always so much to learn. You're never going to learn all there is to know about someone's life. Like, research about Elvis or anybody will go on forever. But this movie, like, it shows that Elvis is still in the minds and the mouths of people all across the world. And if I said this before, but like, the minute that Elvis stops doing that, the minute we stop talking about Elvis, the conversation, you know, dies. The interest and the intrigue and the curiosity dies. And so it's so important to have stuff like this where we are talking about him in whatever capacity, because there is going to be people out there like me and you that make content now, and people are going to see this content now. People are going to be following our fan pages and learning more and more and more about Elvis and all this important stuff. And this movie did that. This movie opened up those doors for that. So I couldn't be more grateful.
If it wasn't for
the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Exactly that.
Yeah. And
this was so fun. Honestly, go see the movie if you haven't. Do not talk about it or have an opinion if you haven't seen it. Go see it before you have an opinion.
That's so true. And if you've listened to this, why did you listen to it if you haven't already watched it? I hope everyone listening to this has already watched it or just wanted it spoiled for them, honestly.
But, just make up your own opinion before you listen to anybody else's. Don't let anybody ruin this for you until you've made up your own mind.
And also don't go in there with preconceived notions of what to expect. Just go in there and have fun. Get your popcorn. Get your life. Live your life. Have fun. Wear a nice outfit. Be Elvis. And then if you have seen it, tell your friends. Tell your friends you went to see it. Even if you didn't like it, that's valid too. But people should still go see it. Never discourage people from seeing it, because it's all about perspective and different interpretations. I've seen so many different interpretations of different scenes, different songs and things like that. It's so fun. It's like a book. It's worthy of this analysis, which I hope we've achieved here. And I don't want to repeat myself too much, so I will be kissing you goodnight, Mary.
No, yeah, and I will be doing the same, but go see it if you want, and love you, Elvis, so bad. This is your time. Congrats. We love you so bad.
Yeah. And until we meet again.
May God bless you.
Adios.
Adios.
Mary and I would like to dedicate this episode to Shanka Dukeray, who sadly passed away shortly after our time of recording. She's left her mark as Big Mama Thornton in this film, and I'm sure we all treasure it even more so for her performance. Thanks for listening.